Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the midday show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. McGurk's in Fort Washington. What's up, you?
This is so loud, man.
I didn't think that was that loud.
Dude, hold on. Is it?
It's loud to me. Maybe it's just Hughes' headphones.
Yeah.
I just think it sounds loud.
I can turn your headset down. Like the return. It just sounds like
Fred just trying to blow us out. Though.
I don't know. I'm not hearing the same thing. It might be your headset.
Might be my headset. Yeah.
I just ruined your hearing for the rest of your life, though.
Oh well, hell, they let y'all tell it. I ain't got that much time left anyway.
That's not true. You're gonna be around for a while.
No, listen. I was about to say you almost had to dump that, but him and Joe. They like to talk about I'm in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. He's bumping up against a two-minute warning.
I think it's funny.
I think it's funny. They say the game almost over.
If I had to handicap, I'd say there's 5 minutes left in the third. 5 minutes left in the third for you, Hugh. So you still got a little bit more time. Man, listen.
I don't let those guys bother me, man.
Yeah. I think I'm at halftime right now. Yeah. Kyle's still in the first half.
You think so?
Nah. Yeah, I feel like I'm in the first half.
I could be 2 minute warning of the second quarter.
Yeah, where's Fran at? Fran feels like he's still in the first quarter. Yeah, no, no, he's not in the first quarter.
Fran 30. Fran needs to go ahead and settle down. So
you play your cards right. That's first quarter.
What are you guys even referring to? I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Don't worry about it, young fella.
What quarter are you in your life? Are you listening to the show, Fran?
Yeah, no. I don't know what you mean by this first quarter halftime stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
Turn off Wimbledon.
Talking about listening to the show.
Yeah, he's watching too much Wimbledon in that studio.
No, you're not.
I'm multitasking.
This is what I always deal with Fran. I'll go to him on the air for something. What were you talking about?
That never happens. Never happened in my life.
Come on, Fran. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, talking a lot about the Phillies. Phillies lose last night 3-1. Jordan Romano, who has been nothing short of a disaster this year.
Romano?
Should we start calling him Romano? Is that what we need to do? He's Ray Romano
until further notice. From everybody who lost the proper pronunciation.
I already
butcher names as it is. Yeah. So it's Romano.
You don't do well. We're talking Romano.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's supposed to be Romano.
But he's Romano right now.
He is quickly climbing the ranks of my most hated Philly list of all time.
So
I cannot stand him. I can't stand him. He's awful. Wow.
You know, so I don't know if I can go hate just because he doesn't say anything that annoys me. Usually, like, when I jump from, like, I'm just tired of this dude, get him off my team, to, like, I hate that guy, he needs to say something that pisses me off. Yeah. Yeah.
But who was that last year that irritated you so bad?
We could go down the list.
Didn't Kepler irritate you a little bit?
A few weeks ago?
Yeah.
I mean, who did? I don't know who we didn't irritate. Maybe you, because you always try to see the good people for some reason.
Well, if you're talking the talk, you got to walk the walk, man. And he wasn't doing that.
This is the thing. If he was just a bad pitcher, that's one thing. But I'm telling you, all this fidgetiness on the mound.
That's what bothers you,
is
the fidgetiness.
Brutal.
And not like coming through in the clutch.
Yeah. Just sit still during the game. Go out. Stop messing around with your hair on the mound, whatever he's doing. Yeah. Just throw strikes.
Just stop talking to yourself.
Oh, my God.
Maybe tone down the talking to yourself.
He would have fit in perfectly with that 2020 COVID bullpen.
Oh.
That had Brandon Workman.
He might have been the ace of that bullpen.
He'd have been the best guy in that bullpen. That's how bad they were. 215-592-9494.
That actually was the single worst bullpen I've ever seen.
Thank God that season was only 60 games because that was the worst Phillies team to watch I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
They were brutal.
Yep. That was Alec Boehm's best season, too.
Yeah. There you go. No fans in the crowd. Maybe that had something to do with it.
He likes the
privacy. 215-592-9494. In a few minutes, we'll get to the Sixers and another update with them this offseason. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Ron in Montco. Hey, Ron.
Oh, turn that radio.
Hey, guys.
Turn that radio off there, buddy.
Turn the radio. What is with my radio and you?
Ron is kind of loud.
The problem is it's on.
That's what it is.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. My radio ain't on. It's my phone.
Okay. We got the feedback.
Anyway,
my fault. You're right.
You.
Yes.
Here,
You're getting, you've got to be getting double combat pay today.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Rob?
Well, you got the TK and you got the screener. You got both of them.
I'm on Hugh's side today.
It's not a bad. Today's pretty good. It's a pretty good day, to be honest. It's a pretty good day.
Most of the time, I'm on Hugh's side. So I mean, even when he's wrong, he's silly. You know what can you do?
When I'm wrong, I'm silly.
Often.
I mean, even when he's wrong, you gotta laugh. You know what I mean?
I'm never wrong, Ron. What are you talking about?
No, you're wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You are
I'm opinionated. I'm opinionated.
Yeah, well, so am I. But anyway, listen. Here's what I want to say, guys. Okay, the Harper thing is a very bad thing. Okay, now I'm going to tell you from experience. Okay, the most painful thing for him at the plate is when he fouls one off or when he whiffs. It's not when he hits it on the screws. Okay. I was a three hitter my whole life, okay? And I was on a championship team 1 year, and I tore the back of my, you know, the back of your hand, the runs between your fingers, the back of the hand, and I went down all the way plummeted to the nine-hole hitter. And this is a serious problem. Now, the question is, are they telling you everything? Is he bone on bone? Is he out of cartilage in that wrist? Because as a left-handed hitter, okay, his right hand is his dominant hand. That's his power hand, okay? And that's where the torque is coming. The other hand sears the bat. So we may be looking at the end of him. We hope we don't. But guys, Thompson, I could take him or leave him. He's a guy to me. He's just another schmo. The guy who baked the cake, okay, is a guy, Dombrowski, and the owner. They baked the cake. Don't you hear us arguing about center field? How long have we been arguing about center field? Oh, this one should have been there. This one should have been here. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, I will wash all three of your cars next spring, starting spring, every Sunday. I will wash each of your cars every Sunday if they make it to the World Series. How's that?
Well, all right, I'll take you up on that, Ron. I live in Monco, too, so maybe you can, I'll bring my car over.
Well, I left because you do live in Monco. I'm out of Monco.
All right.
As soon as I found out, I split. I'm gone.
That's a good call, Ron. Well, I'll find you, and you can wash our cars wherever it is. Thanks for the call, Ron. But he's not wrong. I mean, the pieces that this team have been put together with were just dramatically flawed. And, I mean, I just don't know how you fix all of it over the course of the next few weeks.
I mean, this is still a good baseball team. Let's not lose light of that. Now, do they need some pieces? Yes. But I feel like they feel that they're not major moves. You know, as fans, we want the major moves because it gets us excited about the team and it gets us juice and everything. That's not going to be the case, I don't believe. I don't believe because when you talk about – when I look at the standings, TK, a lot of teams tightly grouped together, man, and that's going to make it hard for you to make the type of moves that we're talking about. Who was the player that we were talking about from the Angels yesterday that we could get?
Taylor Ward.
Yes. It might be I'm not saying it's him. But what I'm saying is, it's probably going to be a move, something like that, when you know the trade deadline comes around.
Well, then the season's over. If they do something minor like that, the season's over. They need a real pitcher and they need a real hitter. And they probably need more than one real pitcher.
Okay, answer me this. Riddle me this. At this point of the season, and with everybody tightly grouped together, what is the easier fix, TK? It feels to me like it's a pitcher more so than a bat.
I agree with you. I think the bullpen is probably – it's easier to find bullpen pieces at the deadline, I think, than it is to find –
because nobody wants to get – like we were talking about Austin Riley yesterday. You know, as bad as the Braves are, that probably is going to be a hefty price tag.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
So I would think that we have to kind of hope for the best. I know nobody wants to hear that. But
well, here we go.
No, listen.
Always try to look for the best.
Listen to what I'm saying.
This is just
no. Listen, to what,
I'm disappointed in you. This
no,
week,
listen
you.
To listen to what I'm saying.
A lot of positivity.
No, that's my fault. He was trying to be serious.
But listen to what I'm saying. Last night, early in that game, when I was talking about the Rojas at bat, and when he got on base, and they were trying to move runners, to me, that's an indication of them trying to change their play style. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know if they're trying to change their play style.
Well, they're trying to manufacture runs. Well,
by necessity.
Yeah, right. I don't think they have a choice.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, because they're trying to change the way that they play.
Which is better than nothing.
Yes. And so that's kind of how I look at it. So if we can get some relief pitching, I think we will be fine. Mm-hmm. Now, the in the park home run, that was a tough one. But I see that. And when I said, and I know fans in the car, like, you're just an idiot. I hate when you talk baseball. But it's the truth. It's the truth.
The number one, like, they can really round out because it's not a very good, particularly, like, great offense right now. But they do the small ball stuff, and they're doing it, I think, better than they have in years past. That's good. That's a positive. If they add another piece that can give you a little pop, you get that extra element of power. Maybe you get a little bit more power back from Bryce, and Castellanos finds his power. You know, like that, and then they still do the small ball stuff. That, I think, is a recipe for success in October, especially with the way the starting pitching is.
I just think we're really running out of time in terms of guys finding it. I mean, it's the middle of July.
Well, yeah, Trey said it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, I'm trying to ease off him. Trey's had a good season. I know I haven't been the biggest Trey guy.
Not even an all-star.
That comment was a disgrace. I mean, it's good. It's a good thing we haven't played our best yet, so we can play well later.
It does remind me a lot of the stuff that you heard from guys last year, like JT and even Schwarber to an extent, about like, yeah, you know, just gotta hope that like we flip the switch.
Yeah,
in October, it's like no, like
not the way it works, guys.
You can control that.
Yeah,
you gotta flip that switch.
Yeah, you gotta play better. Bottom line,
it's one of those things where, like, we are so sensitive to some of the things that you say. And when you say things like that, that's not what this fan base wants to
do. Yeah, no.
Flipping the switch, and we got time and things of that nature. The time is now.
Yeah, you gotta get to it now so you establish those habits for the postseason. Let's go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet.
Hey. I agree with you, definitely. I think it would be easier to go ahead and get some help for the bullpen. I think that is – I'm not really concerned about our bats. I mean, I know that we get streaky, we're hot and cold, but I think we'll be okay with that. But, oh, my gosh, that bullpen, I mean, that's been our issue from the beginning. And, honestly, I'm really, really upset with Alvarado because we really freaking needed him.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Violet. And, honestly – We probably don't bring that up enough, but Alvarado put this team in a terrible position. I mean, that suspension cost them so much. And, yeah, I mean, that created a whole other need for them that you'd think if you have Alvarado, a game like last night is probably not a problem, and it's probably a game you win.
No, it would have been in a bag, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
Alvarado,
a great point.
Alvarado screwed.
Yeah, that was huge. Absolutely.
So
all right, thanks.
Yeah, that's
thanks.
All I have to say. Right. We'll be okay. Thanks. We're gonna make it.
Well, thanks, Violet. Well, appreciate the call. Yeah, I don't know. No, but it's she makes a great point. And like the Alvarado thing, guys. The Alvarado thing was massive. I mean, it killed this team in terms of you thought even if Romano was a bust, you thought you could count on Kirkering and Strom and Alvarado, and at least you have three guys that you can fall back on. You take Alvarado out of the equation, and even though like a guy like Banks has been good, it just really has put you in a tough spot.
Yeah, he didn't time that cycle up right, man. That's kind of messed up that he did that.
You think if he timed it up a little better, he wouldn't have gotten popped?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not. This is not me condoning it, but it's obvious that you know this has been. You know what I mean? This has been. I mean, he's been. You know, he's been messing around for a while, so he messed up the timing.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, Alvarado was bad last year, so it might have been something that he felt like he needed to do. 215-592-9494.
So bad. Kids, don't condone. We don't condone that on this.
No, case. We don't condone the None use of PEDs.
We don't condone.
Thank you for clarifying that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Did want to give you a quick Sixers update. As the saga with Quentin Grimes continues, Sixers fairly certain, I guess, pretty much, what was the terminology you used, Kyle? They are extremely confident that they will keep Quentin Grimes, right?
Yeah, so let me find the report again. Hold on a second. What, dude?
I laid a grenade Kyle clap right there.
That's the way.
I forgot exactly how it was framed. It's like, yeah, I forget exactly what
okay,
it was.
I'll just
dish it off to Kyle. I'm just being the point guard there.
This is from an NBA reporter. His name's Tony Jones. He covers the Jazz and the Nuggets. But have been a little bit of rumors about potential signing trades with Quentin Grimes. And it feels like the Sixers are not really entertaining that. And they are, quote, unquote, almost certain. Good job, nailed it, that they will retain the 25-year-old guard.
And I want to keep Quentin Grimes. Obviously, you don't want to let a talented player like that walk out the door. But here's my question with this team. How many guards do they plan on having?
A lot.
You have Maxey. You have McCain. You have Edgecombe. How could you possibly not bring back the two elder
Mike
states?
Mike Lowry.
Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry.
Mike Lowry. Bad boy.
Yeah, I know. I know the reference. Yeah. He was Will Smith, right?
Yeah.
Will Smith was him.
Mike Lowry.
Yeah. The combined age of like 80 years old. I don't really understand this roster. Like, don't you need front court guys? Like, again, the Gordon and Lowry part of this didn't make a lot of sense to me. When you have six guards, that seems like overkill. I don't know.
I feel like veteran leadership is what they're trying to do, and they're just that's the biggest thing, because when you talk about the other guys that you would think would be the veteran leaders, I don't think that's the case. So they wanted as many vets in that locker room to try to change the culture as possible, you know, and that's what I think it is, because at some point, you know, we're gonna work this whole Joel Embiid thing as long as we possibly can. We're gonna be as optimistic as we can. But it doesn't look good. Let's be realistic, TK.
You got to tip the weenie scale. Well, and I think that's going to come from guys that can actually play.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, veteran mentorship by guys like Kyle Lowry is what's really going to tip that. I think it's a Quentin Grimes. Kyle Lowry ends up being a guy that can come off the bench. I think that's, like, best-case scenario for the guard situation.
And I don't think that's going to be the case. Like, I don't think Kyle Lowry, honestly, we watched him play last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he can really play anymore.
No, he's cooked.
I just think, like, what's weird about this offseason with the Sixers for me is I want to pick a direction. Like, are you building for the next, you know, 2, 3, 5 years? Or are you trying to go for this in a wide-open Eastern Conference next year? And it feels like they're trying to do both. And I think whenever you try to do both, you really don't do either thing effectively. So that's the thing I don't get. It's like, yeah, if you're building for the future, fine. Don't bring back the old guys. Bring in guys with some upside.
Well, you're at an impasse, because I feel like, and this is just my perspective on this, Tyrese Maxey tried to take over last year. When he had the team meeting and, you know, he talked to the big fella and he tried to talk to him about his work ethic. That was not received well.
Well, you encouraged Embiid to go search and hunt down the snitch.
Well, I did. Well, I said, well, listen.
That was so lame on Embiid's part, too.
First and foremost, I said if they would have hired me. If they would have hired me, it would have never gotten to that.
You would have encouraged them.
I would have not have encouraged. I would have not. I will. That's the time where every now and then, like it's like what they call it, code switching. The kids call it code switching now. I would code switch to a grown up in that situation, and I would have handled it like most grown ups handle. I'd be like, "Hey, Joel, it's probably not a good look, dog. You know, he's trying to point you in the right direction. Let's just listen to what he has to say." And let's just keep this under wraps. I would, like, while you're playing, I'm still available. for the Sixers.
No.
If they want me to take that PR
you
job.
You fought your teammate in the locker room.
Yeah, that was in my younger days.
That was when you were supposed to be the badass.
But that was in my younger days. That was in my 30s.
That was your first go-around.
It's like, what's your – okay. Let's do a mock interview.
That was in my 30s.
A mock interview.
I'm in my 50s now.
A mock interview, Hugh, with Daryl Morey and Josh Harris. Okay, what's your previous experience in this field? Well, I got in a fight with one of the guys on the team.
Well, I got in a fight with it too. But listen, Daryl, I would tell Daryl, I'd
like
be like, Daryl. No, I would tell Daryl. I say, first of all, Daryl, you need to cut that terrible ass beard off, dog. Because I don't know what your beard is doing, but it really
they're gonna love
it's
that.
Confusing. It confuses a lot of people, and it comes off as disingenuous. So cut that off.
His beard confuses.
And try to say as least as possible about this upcoming season, because you're confusing. Because last year, you told the fans to squint their eyes really, really hard and that you got a chance to make it to the playoffs. That didn't happen.
Yeah. And
I would tell them that. So that I would start off that way. Like, sometimes, man, tough love is the best way to deal with folks. You know, you just got to – sometimes you just got to, you know, be honest with people. Cut that terrible-ass beard. We don't know what it's doing. It's not really connecting all over the place. And let's – just take a break from, like, talking about the team.
And, hey, I'm actually, like, more optimistic about the Sixers than I was prior to this offseason. I just don't totally get the direction of this offseason. A lot of conflicting moves one way or the other. Let's go to Nick in Philly. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, awesome. Longtime Phillies fan. Certainly disappointed about the game last night. I think it was one of the worst managed games by Rob Thompson all season. I think he took Taiwan Walker out of the game too early, and he put Jordan Romano in the ninth inning. He should have put Orion Kerkering.
Well, Orion Kerkering wasn't available last night, Nick. He pitched a couple days before.
Yeah, but hold on. No, why wasn't he available? Because Topper said he'd limited him so that he would be available, and then all of a sudden he wasn't.
Well, I don't think they always totally know. I mean, if you're on the day of the game and Kerkering says he's not feeling good enough to go, I don't think that's a topper.
But I guess my question is,
you're saying Orion Kerkering physically told Rob Thompson, I can't pitch today?
Yes. Yes, I think something happened, and he said yes, because he was dependent on him. Yes, I think that's what happened.
And we don't know exactly what happened, but – if he was available, I don't think Rob Thompson's, like, holding him back.
Or also, I don't know. Like, or also, was he wishy-washy about it? And then Topper decided to make the as everyone waves and chats
I'm
with
telling you.
You,
I gotta speak, man, because when people speak, they aggressively speak.
Just
I wave. Gotta say hi.
Just a wave is okay. But, like, we've seen Topper do this thing where he plays the long game before, and he doesn't want to burn out a guy, you know, this early in when you have September and you have October to have to go through with these guys. Like, when they're down a few arms in the bullpen, I don't know. I do wonder what the strategy was with that.
I think he's kind of overly paranoid with that. I think for this team to win, I think the starters, they are too obsessing over pitches, you know, how many pitches they have in a game. Like, they'll pull them at 100 pitches. As opposed to just kind of letting the game happen and just, if they're really good, if someone's really dealing at 100 pitches and they've given up one run, send them out for one more and see if they can do it.
Yeah, Nick, I hear you, and I appreciate the call. I think that's easy to say, but...
Yeah, because you're not in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, you got to protect the health of these guys. And the bottom line is Kerkering, he's a young player. He has not been relied on this frequently yet in his career. I mean, let's remember, he just came up at the very end of 2023. I understand wanting to try to limit him to keep him healthy for the rest of the year. He got to do that.
And not only that, it feels like for Topper, he goes on the feel of his pitchers. Just like the other night when he asked Wheels, hey, man, how you feeling? Because you have to know, man, these guys they pitch a lot of energy and they're throwing that gas. You got to make sure that they're in tune and they're right.
Yeah, but don't you also just trust Wheeler a little bit more?
I was just using him as an example. I was just using him as an example of him asking a question and him getting a feel for his guy. That's all.
Okay.
Right. But with a guy like
Kerkering, not comparing.
I'm saying, like, but wouldn't I feel like Wheeler might know a little bit better if he still has his best stuff.
Yeah,
and then a more inexperienced guy like Kirkery.
And this might come down to where the Phillies do need to protect the young pitcher from himself a little bit, and I'm okay with them doing that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Obviously talking a lot about the Phillies today. They lose the first two games of the series, the Giants. Lose on a walk-off inside the park home run last night. To lose 4-3.
Man, this thing got packed quick.
Game three of the series. Yeah, a lot of people coming over for the baseball event. They'll reveal the results of that at 2 o'clock today. But a lot of time to get in on the Phillies. Obviously talking a lot about that. When we get back, talk about a hypothetical trade idea that we mentioned briefly yesterday on the show. And we'll give you the latest on Andrew Painter. He had another outing in AAA last night. So we'll let you know how that went and what the future could look like for Painter moving forward. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. We're live from McGurk's in Fort Washington, Sports Radio 94 WIP.